at the concept of my imagination and how we need Jesus to help our minds. My imagination and how we need Jesus to help our minds. And text scripture is going to be coming from 1 Chronicles, as you see there on your papers, chapter number 28 and verse number 9. And it says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Now, as you see, the little illustration or graphic on the side of there, as you see the concept of the imagination and all of the activity that is going on inside of that head. But then when you look on the outside, you see all of these question marks. Or that's the unknown, okay? Now, I want you to keep that in mind when we talk about the word imagination. Now, the definition for imagination is the act or power of forming a mental image of something not present to the senses or never before wholly perceived in reality. It's creative ability. That's what imagination is, creative ability, all right? But keep in mind that it is not reality. It's creative. It's what you have a mental image of it. You see it in your mind, but it is not what? It's not real, or it's not reality, okay? Now, when you think about the difference between or why imagination is so important, I have different abilities, or I guess you would say occupations, if you want to say it. And I want you to think about the concept of the occupation and what they do and what they produce. You see, the artist, what does the artist produce? A painting or a sculpture? An architect, he produces a building. A builder, really the architect produces the blueprints, and the builder produces the building, but just so you can understand the concept, really, that's what the tangible piece is for the builder. He's really putting into work the blueprints. And then blueprints, people don't even realize with blueprints how detailed they are. Blueprints tell you how many screws a building needs. You don't even think about that. A blueprint will tell you what type of screws go into that building. Into that wall or into that piece of wood or metal, whatever it is that they're using. A cook produces a meal. A musician produces a what? A song. A computer programmer produces software or an application. A traveler, his focus is what? The destination. A clothing designer, their product is the outfit or the clothes. Now, when you look at those question marks that are in between each one of those occupations and the things that they produce, it represents the unknown. As I said, what was on the outside of that man's or that graphic, those question marks. Those question marks represent the unknown. Read a little further. It says, anyone other than the person that possesses the idea cannot physically see it. So the only one that really sees the idea is who? The person that has it. But anyone outside of that, they can't see it. It's unknown to them. The individual with the imagination has formalized a mental image of something that seems real to them. It's amazing. I want you to think about that concept. When you have your musician and he's composed a piece of music, before that music is even on paper or even played on an instrument, that musician is hearing that sound all in his mind before you even hear it. Whatever song you can think of, our theme song is I Believe God. I don't know who the writer is. It's a hymnal. But before the words and the tune and the notes got on the page, whoever wrote that song had it in their mind, and it was real to them. And it did, but it did not become a reality until they put it on paper, until they added music to it or a tune. Okay, so the imagination has formalized the mental image of something that seems real to them, but in reality is just what? An idea. Now look at these three words when you think about the word idea. An idea is a thought, it's a suggestion, and it also is something that is possible. But again, it's not real. It hasn't gotten there yet, right? All right, but again, it's a thought, it's just a suggestion, or it's a possible course of action. Now, when you're looking at this text in Chronicles, what is happening is David is coming before the people, and David is making them aware that he was not permitted to build the Lord's house because of the things that he had got himself involved in. But he was letting them know that that was what he wanted to do. He wanted to be able to have it said on his resume that he built Jesus a house, but the Lord said no to him. All right. Now, think about the imagination in David's mind before the Lord told him no. I'm sure David could picture the Lord's house, but he was not permitted to bring it into what? Reality. So that imagination or that thought was granted or passed on to another by the name of Solomon, David's son. All right. But when you're looking at the text, David is passing on some good advice or encouragement to Solomon concerning his imagination. Because imagination, if you're not careful, it'll get the best of you and it'll mess you up. You think about even David before. The things that he had imagined in his mind. You think about, say, well, what about David's imagination? Oh, the concept of Bathsheba. Before he even got to know who Bathsheba was, he saw her in not just, physically, you saw her across, you watched her while she was bathing on the rooftop. But then it went a little bit further than that because he started to do what? Imagine. Him being with her. Imagination. He started formalizing a mental image of him being with her. Not even knowing who she was. But he was imagining in his mind him being with her. And he worked real hard to make that happen. And he made that thing happen, no matter what the cost of it was. You think about all of the things that had happened as a result of that. He killed her husband. He got her pregnant. Then he tried to cover up the pregnancy by marrying her. And then the Lord says, you can't cover up sin. And the thing that was supposed to be an honorable thing for him, which would have been his first child, the Lord took that away from him. And he prayed hard that Jesus would be merciful and gracious and spare that child. Scripture says that he fasted and prayed and would not eat anything. And they just thought David had lost his mind trying to get the Lord to change his mind. But the Lord, David saw that when Jesus says something, he means it. Remember how I told you all during Bible class? One thing about a law that has no penalty is a weak law. And we do not serve a weak God. Jesus means just what he says. And every wrong behavior has a consequence. It has a penalty. So this is why, again, we have to be very cautious. As David was trying to get across to Solomon, you need to be cautious about the path that you go down. The things that you entertain in your mind. Because, again, these things, if you're not careful, they'll get the best of you. You'll bring into reality something you really don't want to bring. It seems like it may look good and be good, but the end result, if it's not aligned with what Jesus, his word says, it's going to bring you more harm than good. So if you look at the text scripture, as it says there, the first thought in that text scripture is telling us to do what? Know thou the God of thy father. That's true. And that's true. Before you even can learn to serve Jesus, you need to know who Jesus is. You need to know that Jesus Christ is God. He's not a representative of God. Jesus is God. Jesus did not become God. Some people think Jesus became God when he came on the earth. No, he's always been God. God has always had a name. Even in the Old Testament, when Moses asked God his name, and God was not going to reveal it to Moses at that time. Why? Because God knew that he was going to embody all of salvation in that name. And people had to learn how to respect God for who he is. That's why he told Moses, I am that I am. In words, everything that you need, Jesus is. Now, we do not live in a world that tries to encourage us to think that way. This world tries to make us think to find resolution in everything but Jesus. But you have to know that Jesus is. Jesus is the I am. He is our very present help. We don't have to wonder if the Lord is going to help us. You need to know it. That when you are in the time of trouble, Jesus is the answer to your problem. He is the I am. That's what makes him God. He doesn't have to try to be God. He's already God. What you need to do is formalize that understanding. You need to learn how to discipline your imagination. Discipline the things that you formalize in your mind and realize that Jesus is the supreme. Jesus is the one that is in control. He has the authority. And I just need to learn how to recognize and respect that authority. That's the truth, saints. You ever want to help yourself in holiness? Learn how to respect Jesus for being God. I believe if you know that Jesus is God, you'll treat him like that. You'll be careful about the things that you say. You'll be careful about the places that you go. You'll be careful about the things that you do. Why? Because you realize Jesus is God. He could stop your heartbeat whenever he chooses to. That's the truth. One writer, had, you look at, go over to 2 Corinthians, down the bottom of your page there. Someone get it in the King James Version, in your scriptures. I have it there in the Living Bible. But I want you to look at it in the King James Version too. Let's look at that first. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, 3 through 6.
Chapter number 10, 3 through 6. Yes. For though we walk in the flesh, yes, we do not walk
in the flesh. This is where the bridge is from the last week's lesson. As I told you all, the church is spiritual. The church is not carnal. The church is not, this building. The church is spiritual. The church is spiritual, and you have to understand at birth, you and I are spiritually dead. Because of Adam's transgression, because of sin, we are spiritually dead. So everything that the church is doing, everything that the church is teaching, every course of direction that the church is going in, you've got a problem at birth because you don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to you. You can't formalize it in your mind. What in the world is going on? I know it when people, especially when they come this way and they've never been in the holiness before, when they hear the name of Jesus and they see people singing about Jesus, talking about Jesus, everything that they say, I thank Jesus. He blessed me to see another day. And they be looking at them like, say, wow, these folk really talking about Jesus a whole lot. Not only talking about him, but they start to sing about Jesus. And all the songs just got Jesus in it. Some kind of way they're talking about Jesus, thanking Jesus, blessing Jesus. And then when the service gets real good, somebody say, what's his name? Jesus. What's his name? Jesus. 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 And it's just everything. Jesus. 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 And they come and hear a message. They think that you're going to talk about this and talk about that. But then some kind of way the message talks about Jesus. Somewhere the message focuses on the importance of the name of Jesus and how you got to lift up the name of Jesus. You say, oh, everything is all about Jesus. Didn't we say we're going to come in here for prayer? Yeah. Prayer when? Tuesdays and Fridays and any other day of the week we have prayer. And what are y'all going to do? Y'all going to get down there and you're going to moan? Are you going to get down there and say these long words? No, no, no. All we're going to do is call on the name of Jesus. And say, I've been calling on Jesus for 5 minutes. How much longer do I need to call on him? You need to call on him until when he endues you with power from on high, right? That's the truth. See, this stuff doesn't make sense to the world. Why? Because the world is spiritually dead. You got to understand, what did Jesus come to offer you when he came to the earth? He came to restore what Adam lost. Adam lost life. When Adam disobeyed Jesus, he lost life. And Jesus says, I am come that you might have what? Life. Not physical life, but spiritual life, right? You need the Lord to open up your mind and help you to stop looking at things carnally. Stop looking at things through fleshly eyes. You have to understand, is that scripture there? What are you all reading? In 2 Corinthians chapter number 10? Yes. Come on, saints, even though you are in a fleshly body, do not let this be all that you are. Don't let the sum of who you are be what you see in that mirror. Don't let the sum of who you are be what you go to the store and buy clothes or go and buy soap to dress up and perfume. You are more than that. Inside of your body is a soul, and that soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. Jesus died on the cross not for your body, but for your soul, right? He died that your soul might live. Huh? And though we walk in this flesh, huh? Come on, do y'all understand this? I know it. We got things that are going on in our life. Things that are constantly coming out at our minds. All of these decisions, all of these issues, all of these challenges. But you've got to discipline your mind to understand this fact. This is not an option. This is not somebody's theory. This is a fact. Even though you are in the flesh, you cannot war in this flesh, right? Huh? You can't ball up your fist, not and fight this battle. You can't load a gun, not and fight this kind of battle. You can't hide a knife in your back, huh? And be somebody that can pull it out really quick. Not in this kind of battle. Right, I done told you, we do not war in this flesh, huh? Come on, saints. When somebody cusses you out, come on, what are you? You hear it in the flesh. Your ears hear it, huh? Your chest, your stomach feels it. Don't you feel it? You feel it. Somebody say something to you you don't like, it gets all down in your belly. That thing all starts working all up in you. It's like the hairs all on your body start standing up. And you just say, whoa. But you got to discipline your mind to understand, even though this stuff is coming at you in the flesh, the way you're going to fight it is not fleshly. Huh? That's if you're trying to win the battle. Huh? If you're trying to win this battle, you cannot fight it fleshly, right? That's the truth. You see witness after witness every day trying to fight this battle fleshly. You hear it all while you're walking in the street or laying in your house. You hear it all in the wind. Pop, 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 pop. He's like, oh, gunshots. What is it? Somebody's trying to fight the war, fleshly. You say, well, what's going on? You say, ask yourself, why in the world did they pull that trigger? I'm trying to tell you. Somebody said something. Somebody did something. And they didn't know how to deal with that thing. They said, the best way to deal with it is to pull out my gun. The best way to deal with it is to ball up my fist. And I'm trying to tell you, this thing affects everybody. Nobody's exempt. We looked at them little young people throwing that cone at that man. Huh? That was a witness to you that this issue is real. Huh? This issue is real. Huh? Anytime you see young people at the age of 10 and 15 don't have nothing else to do but pick up a plastic cone and throw it at somebody and don't be satisfied till they fall to the ground and don't move no more, is wrong with your mind. Huh? Hence, that's why the lesson says, Jesus, help my mind. Huh? Why? Because that could be you, right? That could be you. You're no different. You are no different. The same thing came to them can come to you. The only thing that's different is how you respond. That's why you need the Lord Jesus. Help me to respond right, Lord Jesus. When this devil attacks me. Because he is going to attack. Huh? When he comes my way. When he brings me all of these issues. Huh? Let my mind go immediately to your word. And what your word is revealing to me. That we do not war after the flesh. Huh? Come on, read a little bit more.
The weapons of our
warfare. Come on. This is why I don't advocate guns. You will never hear me say anybody's got a right to carry a gun. Why? Because I believe what Jesus said. Jesus said those that live by the sword are going to die by that sword. You say, Elder Scudder, you don't want to go hunting? No. I'm not an advocate of death. Yes, I realize we need the meat to eat, but there should be a better way to kill it. Huh? And when you kill it, you need to be like them people in Avatar. Huh? You know how that lady, the man was so quick to kill them animals, and he was just happy he killed it. She says, no, you need to respect this thing. This something is giving its life for you. Come on, do y'all understand that? Sometimes these movies got messages in them. I think when we eat that meat, eat that chicken, we need to realize somebody gave its life. Huh? So that we could benefit, right? That chicken did not want to die. That chicken wants to keep on living. But it had to give its life for who? For you, right? That's why the Lord said in everything, give thanks, right? Thank you, Jesus. Huh? Thank you, Jesus. It seems insignificant. It seems unimportant. Huh? But you got to realize the value of life. Huh? And the value of life. How important life is. And when you go in, I know the grocery stores are full of meat. You got meat all over the place. And you just be running down and say, I'm going to get this kind of meat and this kind of meat. But you don't even realize in your mind, something gave its life. Something gave its life for whose benefit? For you. Huh? So you can salt it, pepper it, fry it, saute it, bake it, whatever you want to call it. Something gave its life for you. Something died that did not want to die. Even when you say, well, Elder Scudder, I don't need all that stuff. Even that fish in that ocean. You tricked them. Huh? You sure tricked them. Because he thought a meal was right there. He thought that worm was just right in the middle of the ocean. Was a blessing, but he had a hook on that worm. And here you go pulling that fish out of its natural element. That fish don't know what happened. Huh? That was the last thing on that fish's mind. That he was going to be hooked and killed that day. How do you know he doesn't want to die? Because as you pull him, he's fighting. Huh? He's not saying, I want to die. He's fighting. Why? Because it wants to live. I believe creation got more sense than we do. Huh? I believe creation got more sense than we do. They value life. And something in them wants to live. Huh? I'm trying to tell you, saints, something got to be in you that wants to live. Huh? Come on, and you can't be fooled by the stuff that is going on in this earth. This is not living. Huh? Going to this place and that place, having this in your pocket, this in your home, that's not living. Huh? What is living? To know Jesus. To know Jesus. To know Jesus is the giver and the source of life. In him we live, we move, we have our being. He's the length of our day. We can't do nothing without Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
That's when you understand Jesus is God.
Yes.
You realize you can't do nothing without Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That means whenever a problem comes your way,
yes,
when you realize Jesus God, you fall on your knees.
Yes.
You fall on your knees and you go to the Creator. You go to the one that's got the authority. Huh? You realize, Lord, I cannot do this thing, Jesus. You see how hard this problem is. I cannot fix it, Jesus. I need you to fix it, Lord Jesus. Need you to get into my brain.
Yes, Lord.
Huh? Help formalize my mental. Huh? Come on, don't you forget what the imagination is. You need the Lord to get into your brain and help formalize your mental image. Huh? So that you can clearly see what? Not how you gonna fix this thing, but how is Jesus gonna get in this? Jesus, how you gonna get the glory out of all of this? Huh? And I can't do that until I move myself out of the way, right? I gotta move me out the way. Huh? When I move me out of the way, then I can clearly see Jesus. Huh? I don't know how he's gonna do it. Why? Because I'm not the architect. Huh? I'm not the musician. Huh? I'm not the builder. Huh? I'm letting Jesus be all of that. Come on, Satan, that's the truth. I'm letting Jesus be all of that. All I need him to do is produce. Huh? Produce, Lord Jesus. Make it work. Bring it together some kind of way. Help me to move out of the way, and you do it, Lord Jesus. Ain't that the truth? Help me to move myself out of the way. Let me put your name where every question mark is in my life. Y'all understand that? Wherever I don't understand and I can't see, Lord Jesus, let me put your name right there. And let me not let go of your name until you produce what I need. Huh? Come on, saints. Sometimes it don't sound like praise is in your mind. That's why you need to put Jesus there until Jesus produces a hallelujah in your mind, right? Sometimes thank you, Jesus, is not there. You just can't see how to thank him because all of this wrong, all of this mess, all of this no good stuff is going on. That's why you need his name to be right there. And you cannot let go of his name until he puts a thank you, Jesus, there, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Until he puts it there. Huh? That's a beautiful thing. But you don't let go of the name until Jesus puts a thank you, Jesus, in. How you think you came through with the Holy Ghost? Huh? Somebody told you keep on calling his name. Huh? Something inside of you may have gotten anxious, but somebody that knew the Holy Ghost knew you ain't got it yet. And you need to keep on calling his name. Keep on calling him until when? Until he manifests himself. Until the Lord shows up. Until he takes a member of your body that you can't tame, right?
Jesus.
And he manifests himself in you.
Jesus.
And that tongue gets loose.
Jesus.
Huh? It gets loose in humility.
Jesus.
Huh? I told y'all somebody was talking about something. Oh, they fussing with God. They arguing with God. That ain't no Holy Ghost. When you realize that Jesus is God, yeah, I have no right to argue with him. I have no right to get into a debate. Not with my maker. Huh? Not with the one that I believe is sovereign. Huh? What right do I have to utter my thoughts, to utter my concerns to him? Only thing I can do is ask the Lord to have mercy. Huh? Isn't that what David said in all of his authority as the king? He realized he was nothing. And he asked the Lord, have mercy upon who? Upon me, right? According to what? Your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercy. And blot out all of my wrong. Huh? That's why folk don't want to come to Jesus, because they don't want to see themselves. Huh? But that's why the Lord put that first word in salvation. He said to repent. In other words, you've got to see yourself, right? In order for you to change and be positive, you've got to see yourself, right? You've got to see the errors of what? My ways, right?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You've got to see who you are. Huh? That's why David said, against thee and thee only. He didn't say we. Huh? Bathsheba had to go before Jesus for herself. But David realized, when I come before Jesus, I got to come the way I was born. How was you born? I was born lonesome. I was born by myself. Therefore, I got to come to the Lord by myself. And when I repent, I got to repent by myself. I got to ask the Lord to have mercy on who? On me. Huh? And realize I am in error.
Yes.
These people looking around trying to pack plastic blame. Say this one did this because of this. Nah, When it's time for repenting, you can't look at nobody but yourself. You can't look at, you're not going to do yourself no good by looking at other people's mistakes. You need to look at who? Yourself. And ask the Lord Jesus, fix me. Oh, come on, saints. Ask the Lord Jesus, fix me. Fix me where I'm off. You know your imaginations. You know the stuff that is swimming up in your head. Just because you didn't say the cuss word don't mean it ain't in your head. And you need to ask the Lord to help me, Lord Jesus. Take that cussing spirit out of me, right? Why? Because it's not like him, right? The fighting spirit. The jealous spirit. I'm not doing anything, but it might be in you. And to be honest, the only one that knows it's in you is you. Only one that can go about what's in your head is who is you. You only fooling yourself when you know something is there and you're lying to yourself. Why? Because your judge knows it's there. Who is your judge? Jesus. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, right? Who knows the heart? Jesus. Jesus knows that mind. He's a discerner of thoughts and the intents. Lord, know the reason why you're doing what you're doing. That's the truth. Sometimes folk be itching and searching. That's why I was trying to get across to somebody I was talking to the other day, trying to make something happen that ain't meant to happen. And I kept telling, I said, well, you know, this ain't going to work out the way you think it's going to work out because it don't add up. You going in one direction and the other person going in the other. So what are you looking to happen? You can't buy love. You can't buy affection. You can't buy and make somebody want to be interested in you. You got to go by the baseline. The baseline that has been established in your life. Jesus has set the bar in your life for what real love is. Come on, saints. Do y'all believe that? Jesus did that. Not no other man, not no other woman. Jesus set the base. He set the measuring line for what real love is. One writer said, greater love have no man. Do y'all believe this? In other words, I can stand flat-footed and look at my mama. I can look at my daddy dead in their eyes and say emphatically, you cannot love me greater than Jesus. I can look at that woman right there. That got my ring on her finger. That brought into the world my children. I can look at her in her eyes and say, you can never love me greater than Jesus. Why? Because the Lord set the bar. He said, greater love have no man. Only one laid down their life for me is Jesus. He the only one died on the cross. He the only one suffered, bled, and died. He's the only one I owe my allegiance to. If I'm going to be dedicated to anybody, it's going to be Jesus, right? You learn how to be devoted to Jesus, then you could be devoted to other folks. Folks be wondering, say, why this ain't working out? Because maybe there's an issue between you and Jesus. Maybe you get that issue with you and Jesus straight first. Then that other stuff will fall into place. That's what I told her. I said, well, you know, at the end of the day, the only thing I can tell you is you got to love Jesus. You got to fall in love with Jesus. I know your heart may be broken because you keep giving yourself. And that world is telling you they don't want you. I know it breaks your heart, but the world is telling you they don't want you. They don't want you know your Jesus. And you got to come to grasp in your own mind. You just got to have that conversation in your brain. Well, I guess I'll just be by myself. And then the Lord lets you know you're really not by yourself. I was with you from the beginning. I thank you, Jesus. He was with me from the beginning. He lighted every man that comes into the world. He was with you from the beginning.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
All he was doing was waiting on you. Huh? Tell us that I ain't get saved till I was 40 years old. All them 40 years, all he was doing was waiting on you, right? All of your pitfalls, all of your mistakes, all of your love adventures. Huh? Some of us had many, many, many love adventures. Huh? But all of them proved to be failures. I know folks don't like to be honest, but they were failures. You ain't got to save no faith. I don't know who they are, and I don't care. I'm telling you, they were all failures. If it wasn't based on Jesus, where are you going with it? Where are you going with it? It really is not love, it's lust. Huh? That's all it really is, it's lust. And lust, there is no satisfaction in lust. There's no satisfaction in lust. Huh? You say, I like them big. Somebody, you're going to want somebody bigger. Then it's going to be out of control. I'm trying to tell you, I ain't going to go into the details, but you know. Huh? That's that spirit of lawlessness. Lawlessness has no bounds. No limits. Well, you know you done slept with everybody on the block. Huh? Why? Because you were looking for that right one. You like the three beds. Just trying bed from bed, right? Huh? Then you wake up, you say, oh, this is the one. And then you realize, no, this ain't the one. You back at square one again. Lust. Huh? But thank the Lord. The Lord bless you if you found love. Thank the Lord I found love. I got love, and I thank Jesus for it. Huh? But I realize that ain't it. That's not all love is. If love is all that, what happens when that dies? Huh? I'm going to be a depressed person. Huh? I'm going to be somewhere feeling lonely and depressed. And the Lord is just sitting on the sidelines wondering, well, where was I at? Huh? Before you even knew that person's name, Jesus said, I was with you. Huh? See, that's why I said you need to know that Jesus is God. When you realize that Jesus is God, you realize it was him that brought you into existence. Huh? He is the one that brought me into this world. Huh? He is the one that gave me the activities of my limbs. Huh? That's why one songwriter said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You might not like what I look like, but in the eyesight of Jesus, I'm okay, right?
That's it. Amen.
Lord, look at me and consider me worthy. Huh? Isn't that a beautiful thing? When you receive the Holy Ghost, the Lord look at you and consider you worthy. I got the maker of the whole world. Huh? I ain't just talking about the earth. The whole universe. The same one that made the whole universe. He thought me worthy enough to step inside my soul. All I got to do is call his name and I stir him up. I can feel him for myself, right? Man, if that ain't no love, I don't know what is. I can feel Jesus for myself. Huh? He get all in my hands. Huh? Get all down in my toes. Huh? I feel Jesus all by myself. That's why you need to wait till you get the Holy Ghost. So you can learn to feel Jesus by yourself. I don't need you to praise the Lord. I can get into a praise all by myself. I can stir Jesus up all by myself. I was laughing because we was on our way to church and we were listening to one thing. And our sister, I know she didn't think I paid attention to her. I was looking in the rearview mirror, and she was like this. And it was weird, because wasn't nobody else in the van doing that. I'm like this. What in the world? She just... And I know Brother Jones has looked at it, too. But that's the benefit of having Jesus. You can enjoy Jesus all by yourself. You don't need nobody to help you. All you need to do is stir up the gift that's inside of you. Talk to your maker. Talk to the one that you say is your God. Huh? Come on, the God of my father, my father's father. That same God is living inside of me. He is not dead. Huh? He is not dead. He is alive. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Come on, did you finish reading it? I gotta let y'all get ready to go.
And it says here, they're not carnal.
Uh-huh.
They're mighty.
They're mighty.
Through God. Pulling down the
so where is the might at? It's through Jesus. Huh? I know your problem seems hard, but Jesus is greater than your problem. Jesus can give you some mighty help. Ain't that a beautiful thing? Y'all remember that cartoon called Mighty Mouse? Jesus can give you some mighty help. Remember how Popeye used to eat that spinach? Huh? And them muscles would just go popping everywhere. Huh? But Jesus is mightier than spinach, isn't he? Huh? Jesus is mighty help. What kind of mighty help is Jesus? He can get all in your mind. Huh? Is that what the scripture says that? Mighty through God to the what? To the pulling down. That stuff that got your mind captivated. The Lord can make that stuff release its grip. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Sometimes I feel sorry for people that got that stronghold in their mind and don't use Jesus to make that stuff weaken its grip. Don't you realize that the stuff will take you out the church? That stuff will mess your whole life up. I'm talking about them strongholds. You never talk to somebody, you be trying to tell them, why don't you just let that stuff go and serve Jesus? And in their mind, they just can't see how to do it. And you be saying, well, don't you know, just call on the Lord Jesus. I'm calling Jesus and ain't nothing working. What you mean ain't nothing working? His name is a strong tower. Don't you know who you are? You are the righteous. Didn't you testify that the Lord gave you the new birth? You are the righteous.
Jesus.
But I'm trying to tell you, saints, don't you get like that. You better pray the Lord don't get you in that position where something's got a hold of your mind so strong. And you can't see a way out of it. But if you let the Lord do it, the Lord will let that thing release its grip. Oh, have you ever been like that? I've been like that. I had things in my life that seemed like I couldn't get out of it. And I just had to fast and pray. I mean, I had to get back on my knees and call Jesus like I didn't even have the Holy Ghost. Huh? Every time a praise would try to come out, I had to say, no, I got to call Jesus. Why? Because I know the things that are going on in my mind. And I need the Lord to make that stuff release its grip. So I can be free. Huh? What do you mean free? Free when I ain't around you. I want to be free when I ain't around nobody. When I don't see a saint in sight. I want to be free. What do you mean you want to be free? I want to be happy. Huh? Ain't nothing worse than seeing someone that say they saved and they miserable. Huh? Now when Jesus came to give you joy, why in the world are you miserable? What's wrong with the Jesus inside of you? Huh?
That's the truth.
Huh? That's the truth, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You should be happy. I don't care what you're going through. You should be happy. Huh? Lord, to have a smile on your face. You come around and you hear the name of Jesus enough, you stop there and say, oh yeah, I thank you, Jesus. Why? Because that problem is nothing. What do you mean it's nothing? Because all I want to be is rapture ready. I realize if I die right now, then problems going to be right here. But where will my soul be, right? Y'all believe that? Say, Elder Scudder, you don't understand. I got this condition going on in my body. But I'm trying to tell you, if you die right now, that condition will be right there. Huh? And where is it going? To the dirt. But where will your soul be? Huh? Where will your soul be, right? Don't you realize the church is focused on your soul? They ain't focused on your body and the issues of your body. We're concerned with your soul, the real you, right? That's the truth. Sometimes that devil will grab a hold of your mind and make your soul feel captive when your soul is supposed to be free. Huh? Yeah, you testify. I thank the Lord for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Huh? That was your testimony. And nobody tell you you got it. You testified. You said, I thank Jesus for filling me with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. You need to know who you are. You are the righteous. Huh? Scripture done told you I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Nor his seed. The thing that Jesus produces. Nor his seed beg for bread. Everything that is born of God overcomes the world. Huh? This is our victory. Even our faith. Huh? Beloved, behold, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We've got this hope. We've got this expectation that when Jesus shall appear, we shall be what? Like him. Everybody got this hope? They do what? Purify themselves. They get rid of the stuff that defiles them. The negative stuff. The stuff that be trying to swim around in your mind. To make you feel less than. Huh? Amen, Lord Jesus. You need to ask the Lord to bring that stuff into captivity, Lord Jesus. Huh? Bring me out of captivity and bring that stuff into captivity, right? That's true. Sin tries to lock you up, but you need the Lord to lock that up. Huh? That's true. You read a little bit more, you can see the Lord can do that. The Lord can cast down. Huh? In other words, that stuff that be swimming in your head. Huh? That seems so real. Amen, Lord Jesus. That stuff that be swimming your head. Huh? You be talking to other folk and folk don't know what you're talking about. Huh? You can see it so real in your head. All these issues. All of these problems. All of these people hating you. All of these people being against you. And every time you go up to somebody, they don't know what you're talking about. Why? Because you got that imagination in your head. Huh? You got a problem in your head, right? That's the truth.
Yeah.
Don't nobody like me. Don't nobody want me no more. Huh? Everybody looking at me. Everybody like, what are you talking about? I didn't even know you was here. Till you said something. And I was glad to see you. Until you started talking. When you started talking, you let me know that something's wrong with you. Huh? Huh? That's true. Why? Because you see it as being real in your mind. Huh? But those that are on the outside can't see it. Why? Because it ain't real. Isn't that something? You ain't never talked to somebody like that? You be talking to them, they be like, what you leave church for? What you leave church? Because all such and such is going. I'm like, what are you talking about? We ain't stopped none of that stuff. We still calling on Jesus. We still preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. But y'all ain't right. But we was right when you got saved. What has changed? You seeing stuff. Elder Scudder just ain't the same he was when I came in. No, he's not. My head got gray. I got a little older. Right? Huh? I got a different job than I did when you first came in here. Got different clothes than I wore when you first came. When you first came in, I was a little bit thinner. Now I'm a little bit bigger. Huh? So a lot has changed. Huh? But what has not changed? I still love Jesus. I'm still preaching Jesus. I'm still crazy about Jesus. Huh? But all in their mind, they see nothing but issues. I'm trying to tell you that imagination can be a dangerous territory. That's why you need the Lord to get in it. See, I'm trying. Who can fix it? Not the psychiatrist. Not all the medications. Huh? I don't care how many doctor's offices you go to. I don't care how many stars they got beside their name. Huh? They could be recommended by the president himself. They still can't fix this issue. The only one that can fix this issue is the one that can get into your head. Huh? Don't you thank the Lord he's a mind regulator? He can get in your head, right? And he can work. What kind of work can he do, Elder Scudder? He can pull down. Huh? Don't y'all let that get over your head. He can pull down. Huh? What can he pull down, Elder Scott? Strongholds.
That's right.
Huh? What else can he do?
Casting down imagination.
Uh-huh.
Every high thing that exalted itself against the
knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge that Jesus is God.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
See, the devil be trying to make you think that Jesus is not all the way God. Like Jesus is, God is greater. But I thank Jesus. But God is greater. Nah. Jesus said, you still don't have a revelation.
That's right.
What is the revelation? When you seen me, you seen the Father.
Right.
Huh? Anything you want out of heaven, you got to use my name.
Right.
Huh? Jesus said when he was in the earth, he glorified the name of the Father.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Jesus said, I'm telling you to go forth and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in my name.
Right.
Huh? See, in other words, it don't get no greater in the name of Jesus. That's why we can stand flat-footed, as the scriptures say. Whatever you do in word or deed,
do it all
in the name. Huh? That's the truth. That's the truth. I ain't got to go around and say, I'm praying to God. Just say, I'm praying to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is God. Huh? Oh, Heavenly Father, call him by his name.
Jesus.
Who is the Heavenly Father? It's Jesus. Huh? That's all you got to say. Everything you need is in the name. Huh? Don't let something exalt itself above that knowledge. Huh? What knowledge? That Jesus is God, right? That Jesus is God and you need to learn how to do what? Serve him. Is that what Chronicles told you? That Jesus is God and that you need to learn how to do what? Serve. Serve. Everything we're doing it to serve who? Jesus. You go out there, I go out there and water them flowers. I'm doing it because I'm serving the Lord.
Right.
Huh? Right. Amen.
Right.
Growing them vegetables out there.
Yeah.
Why? Because I'm doing it to serve who? The Lord.
Yeah.
Going by and I'm saying, Lord Jesus, when are you going to bring the cucumbers out? Huh? Why? Because this is your garden, Jesus.
Right.
Huh? Doing everything I can do.
Right.
Huh? Every now and then the Lord just let me know you growing it to feed the squirrels. Amen, Lord Jesus. I get upset because we don't get nothing, but the Lord know he feeds whomever he chooses.
Right.
That's the truth. I declare something should be on this thing right now. And I keep seeing that little squirrel every time I come out there. I said, I think that thing is plucking our stuff dry. And I can't get mad at him because the Lord takes care of his own, right? He may just be using me to do it, right? Amen, Lord Jesus. He gets in our head and he pulls that stuff down that's not like him. When we recognize, when we submit to him being what? God. Huh? Come on, saints, isn't that the truth? To Jesus being God, meaning Jesus is in what? He's in control. Huh? It's not me. He is in control. Huh? Now you go to the doctors this week, they give you a bad report. I need you to walk out that doctor's office with that attitude. Jesus is in control. Huh? Huh? Don't say, we don't know how to fix this. You can just turn, just put your head down and say, Jesus, you was in control. Huh? Well, it looks like you only got 3 months to live. You can just say, Jesus, you are in control. Huh? And just walk out with your head held up high. Do you need us to call a family member? Do you need us to bring somebody in to talk with you? If you're going to do anything, doctor, get out the office so I can get on my knees and call Jesus so I can get my mind straight, right? Because I need the Lord to pull down all of these imaginations that your report put in my head. I was feeling fine before I got here, right? But your report put all of these negative thoughts in my mind, and I need Jesus to help me, right? Isn't that the truth? Sometimes you talk to folk, they do more harm to you than good. Because you be feeling fine before you get to talking to them. But then after you talk to them, it seems like your whole world done caved in. They done put all of their issues on you and made you feel like you brought it on them. And you ain't did nothing to them. Huh? That's true. That's true. Bring all their issues and put it right on you. And you ain't did nothing. You was feeling good when you woke up this morning. Huh? But you talk to them, they make you see stuff and feel stuff. And I'm talking to some lady, something, because it'd be all in your back. When she got finished talking to me, I started feeling something in my back. I said, well, Lord, what is this? Yeah, you be getting careful how you could be listening to folks. Huh? They be telling you all kind of weird stuff. Because you know when you get a certain age, you hit a certain age, stuff just start happening to you. No, I'm not going to accept that. Jesus made my body. And my body may be a little bit different from your body. Right? That's the truth. As I them folk, when I told you all, my lips swelled up from that blood pressure medicine, allergic reaction. They kept on trying to make my throat close, didn't they, baby? They kept trying to put fear inside of me. They kept saying, oh, you sure your throat ain't closing? You sure you all right? I'm feeling fine. It's just my lip. You see the problem? My lip won't go down. The problem ain't in my throat. It's my lip. They said, oh, well, we're gonna watch you. Right? Well, you watch me all you want. Have me laying all up in the hospital bed. Now, that the tables turned. Because normally I'm not the one. I'm usually, my wife usually, because she be having all these little things with her diabetes and stuff. I'm used to going to this place with her. But then when the tables is turned, and I'm sitting up in that hospital gown, looking up there in that wall, stuff, and then they make me even more nervous by putting all these stickers all on my chest. Oh, yeah. Whoa, what is the problem? We gotta watch your oxygen levels. I'm like, oxygen levels? I'm fine. I can breathe. Y'all understand this? I can breathe. But I'm trying to tell you how them reports, them people try to put thoughts all up in your head. And if you're not careful, that stuff will control you. I needed the Lord to help me. Thank the Lord my wife was right there. She was positive and happy and trying to keep things normal. And making me laugh and stuff like that. She just, you know, she would just say little things to me. Taking little pictures and stuff, you know, showing pictures, you know, trying to make me smile, huh? But them people in that hospital weren't trying to make me smile. They kept trying to make me think I was on my way down, huh? That's their job. Trying to make me feel like I was on my way down, huh? Yeah, I was feeling fine, you know. Walked in. I didn't need nobody to wheel me in. I didn't need nobody to walk me in. And all I wanted them to do was just give me a stronger thing than Benadryl to make my lip go down. But they kept saying, oh, no, we got to watch you. I said, oh, watch me? Watch me for what? Because your throat. Ain't nothing wrong with my throat. You're going to talk my throat to being an issue. If you're not careful, that stuff will start getting into you. You'll be swallowing. You say, I was swallowing fine. You know, because that's what they're saying you should be experiencing. But then the Lord proves himself that he was right there all along. Huh? And you need the Lord, as I said, what did that scripture say? To pull that stuff down. Pull all that stuff down that tries to get in your mind and take your thoughts off of who Jesus is. Huh? That's the truth, saints. I'm done. I ain't going to hold you up no longer. Y'all got something. Hold your papers because I'm coming back to it on next week.